What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 27th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. Oh my gosh, Kyle Bradish, he had himself an amazing return. It's been a Kyle since I could watch Kyle pitch on the mound and be an ace. It was great. It was 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 10 strikeouts, 15 whiffs, 36% CSW on that. He just looked legit. It was a curveball that was a proper curveball. It was a slider that was really like a sweeper. They were both over 83 miles per hour, 85 on the sweeper. The cut four-seamer is really like a cutter now. It has negative 2 horizontal movement, which I don't think I've seen on a four-seamer. I've seen like 0, maybe slightly negative. But generally, I mean, four-seamers that you know are like 9 or 10 horizontal movement or so, right? Or 6, not negative 2. So that's serious cut. And the thing is, Kyle Bradish isn't quite using it as I would want him to, which is throwing those exclusively to left-handers as a cut four-seamer inside, kind of like how Sonny Gray does a bit. And then throwing the sinker as an inside pitch and away pitch to right-handers. Now, that command of that sinker was really good against the Red Sox, save for this really bad first pitch home run. Maybe it was a 2-0 pitch down the middle. Oh my gosh, the 8-hitter Hamilton. It was destroyed. It was 93. It was just, no. I think it was the first pitch. Long story short, Kyle Bradish looked great. You should be adding on your teams. 11 over 28 whiffs on those breaking balls. It was great. He also pinpointed some of those sinkers who are called strikeouts. It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. Him and Shane Bieber just like, yeah, this is what we've always wanted guys coming back from Tommy John to look like. It's kind of nuts how every year there are these IL stashes that actually give you massive value when they do return. It's pretty cool. Patrick Corbin against the Angels got the win. 8 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. I know, I just said Patrick Corbin. This is right. Bonkers. Right? It's a gold star. It's great. And we are not going to trust this. Lucas Giolito against the Orioles on the other side of Bradish got the win. 8 innings of shutout ball. 4 innings, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Oh, that's beautiful. 94 mile per hour. 4 seamers, 18 inches of vert. They were up and in to lefties a ton. He had the Blake Snell blueprint going with that and the changeup to lefties and somewhat with righties and the sweeper. Sorry, not the sweeper, the slider. But only 6.3 feet of extension is kind of low. That's supposed to be like 6.9 for Giolito. He went down to 6.5 last time. Maybe it's something conscientious. Maybe, I don't know. It's a little strange, that's all I'm going to say, but he does get a good matchup next in the one after, that is Pirates and heading to Arizona. I'm starting Giolito for both. Martin Perez had a phenomenal game, 7 innings of 0 runs and just 1 hit, the only base runner. And 0 walks, 5 Ks, oh my gosh, against the Royals and not even in Kauffman. This is bonkers. The changeup was pinpointed down and away, his sinker with pretty much the same movement at 8 miles per hour, faster. At 90, not fast, but, you know, at 90, was spotted right there. I mean, it was just pretty much, what is it, the changeup of the sinker? They couldn't tell. It was really good. And then you have right-handers leaning away for that. And all of a sudden, it's his cutter inside jamming them. He did a phenomenal job. This is a crafty lefty vet in the poster child for it these days. And now he gets at Detroit and the Rays and Baltimore. And it's possible that Martin Perez is worthwhile for this. It could be a Vargas rule if you want. It could also be very, very minimal of like 4.2 innings of blech. So take that as you will. 15-teamer streamer is what I say for now. And maybe a desperate one in your 12s. Parker Messick is the new blood of this lefty changeup focused arm without high velocity. It was about 93 on that four-seamer. That's doing it service of, it's really 92.8. But it is 16 inches of vert at 1.1 height adjusted VAA, which is slightly flat. So it could explain a little bit of the whiffability that we saw, 8 over 44, which is a little shocking. However, Parker Messick had absurdly good command. And it's kind of funny, watching him last week, I said, no, he doesn't. But then I looked at the data and looking at the strike zone plots and that he had 116 PLV location plus on this four-seamer, I'm like, maybe he actually does, and he replicated it. I mean, this was even better. The changeup was down, the four-seamer was up. It was a beautiful Blake Snell blueprint. 37% CSW for a King Cole. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks with 16 whiffs. Getting the win against Tampa Bay in Cleveland did Parker Messick. So are we going to go with this? I don't love it. But I understand if you do want to chase it in Fenway. I just kind of feel like it's too young of a pitcher to bank on the command and consistency, especially going to a really tough place to pitch in Fenway. Tanner Gordon pitched, and it was 100 run in 6 innings, got a win. I know, I can't believe it. It was in Houston. Okay, well, there we go. You're not going to do that. We had a very disappointing game from Hurston Waldrep. It was against Miami, and he got 100 run in 5.1 innings. Nick, what are you talking about? Well, it was 8 hits and 1 walk and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Only 3 whiffs, 23% CSW, and you can probably guess what happened. Because what does Waldrep do? Well, he is a splitter-focused arm. And yeah, that splitter was inconsistent. 52% strike rate. The new cutter that is not the four-seamer is now this cutter, 44% strikes. So this was pretty much him just forcing in sinkers and getting out of jams. Thank you, Koufax, for allowing this to happen. It could have been so much worse if Waldrep didn't face the Marlins. Now he gets the Phillies and then the Mariners, not in Seattle, and then Houston. Yeah, I'm not interested in this. You might be wondering, wait, hold on a second. That's not the schedule for him. It is, because Strider's getting pushed back an extra day. Yeah, no thank you, Hurston Waldrep. I'm sorry, it was fun for a moment, but you have shown your inconsistency and you have such a bad schedule. Clayton Kershaw against the Reds carpet, wrapped himself in that carpet like a burrito because it's a warm blanket. Yeah, he got the win. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Now he has 2 good matchups left. It's PNC Park and then Rocky Road. And yeah, we're going to do that for Kershaw, then say goodbye because it gets a lot harder after that. Luis Gil got the win against the Nationals. 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 12 whiffs, 32% CSW, 92 pitches. It's a dusty donut, and watching Heel battle himself with every single pitch is so frustrating. His four-seamer and slider each had a 14% plus non-competitive rate, which is just essentially says it's chaotic. And then the changeup, which actually had a low NC rate, was still floated and up and away, and it's just not a complete pitcher. And now he's going to get the Sly Sox. That's why I'm calling the Cry Sox, who the formerly named Cry Sox, because they are not bad anymore. They are sneaky good. He'll get the Sly Sox, the Jays, and Fenway in his next 3. And honestly, I think you're better off streaming and going with something a little bit safer than Heel. Not saying that the upside isn't higher, because it is, but I think you're better playing conservatively. Sandy Alcantara against Atlanta, 7 innings of 2 earned runs. Yes, we did it again. 5 base runners, 7 strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 33% CSW. We love this. 104 pitches. They keep throwing Sandy deep into games, even though he's pushing a ton of innings in his return from Tommy John. Whatever, they're just going to trade him away, I guess. I loved the changeup and curveball to right-handers. Curveballs were away, changeups were inside, and the sinker was able to come over the plate, still called strikes. Now against lefties, a lot harder. Sinker is not as effective. Four-seamer isn't really that effective either. So changeups and sliders and curveballs need to be the answer there, and they haven't been. So I am a little worried about that for Alcantara, and now he gets the Mets, then he gets the Phillies, and then hosts the Tigers, and then goes into Coors, and it's just, I'm conflicted, because yes, 3 straight good outings with the foundation being a changeup for Sandy Alcantara. This was a tougher one against Atlanta, but that schedule is really bad, and we've seen the floor, and lefties are still getting served questionable material, so I'm going to lean no. I'm going to say it's a questionable start for pretty much all of those. Hunter Brown, ace is going to ace with Rocky Road. 6.2 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. It was kind of interesting to see 95 mile per hour sinkers thrown 39% of the time to right-handers. And keep in mind, that is 96 and 97, the four-seamer going upstairs every so often, but only 1 over 20 whiffs on that at 55% strikes. The curveball was really good, though, and so was the cutter. The curve did well at 7 over 25 whiffs, and the cutter at 91-92, landing down and away to right-handers, 3-for-8 whiffs. Oh, I wish you could do that all the time. All right, we have other guys to talk about, including Justin Verlander and Mackenzie Gore and so on and so forth. Talk about all of them and more after this break. Justin Verlander against the Cubs got a win. 6 innings of 200 runs, 9 base runners, 5 Ks. This was four-seamers doing well upstairs to left-handers, and you have a lot of breaking stuff over the plate to both lefties and righties. I'm not really in love with it. Only 5 whiffs on 31 sliders, and also 3 hits with some very bad ones. He gets the Orioles in St. Louis next, and it's fine. He's like a Toby at this point, but it's not someone that I'm going to ensure that I have in my teams. I'm certainly looking for different streams instead of Verlander in my 12 teamers. Chris Bassitt was a win play. He didn't get one. He got served to Philly as well. 5.2 innings of 200 runs. That is a 5.2 innings and just one out short of a quality start as a Philly. Close but no cigar. Four hits, three walks, and six Ks. It's fine. The start is fine. It was 14 over 40 called strikes on a sinker. And the curveball was great at a 50% CSW, 6 over 12, though. It wasn't like a big whiff pitch as we've seen previously for the 10 strikeout game. I don't trust this. His cutter was missing way too up, and it did help out the four-seamer that did land at the top, but it's too precarious for me, and I can see you going for it only if you're desperate for a quality start or a win. For Chris Bassitt, I'm just not really that interested. Sean Manaea is clearly dealing with a third time to the lineup penalty. It was four innings of bliss, and then he was one out away from getting out of it in the fifth, and he got pulled with two runners on, and they both came around to score. So it was 4.2 innings of 200 runs, six hits, zero walks, and eight strikeouts. Koshare of the Gallows pulled 19 whiffs. And it's tough because you do get at Detroit next, and I think you're going to do it, but you're not really getting that six-inning, seven-inning guy that you saw last year, and it's hard to figure out exactly what you want to do. Now, he's still getting strikeouts first and second time through the lineup, so I guess we're going with that. Shane Baz, oh my gosh, against the Guardians, I hate making so many excuses for the same guy. But here's the thing. But Baz is such a weird one. The first inning was a ton of like a broken bat and a curveball through the hole twice. And he allowed three hits and a walk in that first inning for three runs. But then after that, he went no-hit ball for five straight with just one walk. So six innings, 300 runs, three hits, two walks, and seven Ks. And it is kind of funny to be like, you know, you get all these messages, oh, Baz is cooked, what are you doing? I can't believe this. After the first inning, right, which was, again, just like, okay, whatever, roll your eyes at it. And then, of course, he dominates after that. So stop having reactions after the first unless it's 400 runs. Okay, guys? But, yeah, I'm just, it's tough with Shane Baz. It's a really tough schedule. Really, the best matchup he gets over the next four are the Guardians back in Tampa Bay. I don't really want to do that. Even though I feel like Shane Baz has just been so unfortunate this year, I am very much buying in next year. Then again, you can make an argument like, oh, he's going to get hurt next year because he has all the innings from this year. And like, oh, gosh, he'll be free at the end of drafts. Okay, Mitch Keller against the Cardinals got the win. Six innings, 300 runs, three hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts. My gosh. 18 whiffs for Keller. Oh, man. Thank you, St. Louis. 5 over 11 whiffs on the sweeper with 4 strikeouts. And whenever you see a high strikeout game from a guy out of nowhere, you got to ask yourself, what is the difference here? What's the put-away rate that changed? And it was obviously the sweeper here a bit. Also, the four-seamer, too. And the highly efficient sweeper in 2 strikeouts is not going to stick. And now he also gets the Dodgers. So, yeah, Mitch Keller... awesome. We're not starting you. Mackenzie Gore against the Yankees. 5 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He survived, I guess, against the Yankees. And this was really the tough one because now you get the Marlins next. So you're going to do that. And we'll talk after the Marlins one because it might be the Cubs, I believe, after that one. And it just wasn't really the best command from Gore in this one. Four seamers were scattered a bit. The changeup and curve weren't down enough. The slider was good down away and also down the middle, and the Yankees didn't punish him when he was throwing these against lefties. Yeah, it's just not really making me feel great about Mackenzie Gore. Jacob Mizorowski, here's the funny thing. We're all talking about like, oh, we want to go 4 innings, that kind of stuff. Well, the last two have been very strange for Mizorowski. And this was 5 innings. Amazing already. 300 runs. Oh, so close because he had a slider over the plate for a 3-run shot. Ugh. Because it was 4 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts from Mizorowski. 19 whiffs. Koshare of the Gallows Bowl, 37% CSW. But get this, 93 pitches. So yeah, start Jacob Mizorowski. We're good. Nick Martinez against the Dodgers. He might not get many more because Lodolo's coming back today. So 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Yep, you need to be pristine, and he wasn't. It was 5 innings of 2 runs at least, and he got a bit of careful licorice here with 2 more in that 6th. To really ruin it, but yeah, you don't want to go for Martinez. You don't want to go for Michael Lorenzo unless you're very desperate for a quality start. And he hasn't really done that. 78 pitches here for 5 innings of 4 runs and 8 base runners, 6 Ks. It's just, ugh. You don't want to go with Michael Lorenzo. This was against the White Sox. Bailey Ober. You can drop Bailey Ober if you haven't yet. He went to Toronto, north of the border, 5 innings, 4 runs, 10 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. And here's the thing, Bailey Ober, you need to be at 91, 92, right? We thought maybe, okay, after this injury, you might get that back. He was at 90, and then he was at 89. And guess what? 88.8 here. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you cannot. You cannot do this. Dylan Cease, oh, boy. You might not want to do it anymore, and I understand if you don't. 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. 19 whiffs, another co-share in the Gallows Bowl. 87 pitches. And he had 4 dominant frames. It was 0 earned runs through 4. And then he just messed up in the fifth. He allowed a 3-run shot, and then it got another runner on, who then scored when he was pulled. You do what you need to do for your fantasy teams. I feel like I'm just going to see it out personally. I just think he's better than this, and it's just been that kind of year for him. But I get it. I absolutely get it if you just can't do it. Jesus Luzardo also was doing great until he wasn't. It was 4 innings of 0 runs, and then it was 4 runs. Actually, he left with the bases loaded after already allowing a run and having no outs. And everyone came around to score. So 4 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. He got squeezed in this one, yes. But still, I mean, it's against the Mets. He's a cherry bomb. Whatever. Just understand that against the non-elite offenses, you're going to be happy you started Luzardo more than upset. Osvaldo Beto started against the Tigers. You don't want that. You knew that. 3 innings, 4 runs. We were not going to do it. Matthew Boyd, obviously disappointing. Last 6 starts, including yesterday's against the Giants in San Francisco, was 5.1 innings, 5 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 8 Ks. 8 Ks. And it's a 5.93 ERA, 124 whip, and 20% Ks across the last 6 for Matthew Boyd. Now, it was also 4 bad starts and 2 great ones. And this was a home run problem. That's always been the thing with Boyd. If he fails, it's because he allows at least 1, if not 2 home runs, or at least 2. There were 2 here. One was a solo shot, and then a 2-run shot in the 6th inning. You were so close, right? That was almost a poor quality start. So he's still going Blake Snell blueprint reasonably well. You saw the 8 strikeouts here, and goes into Coors next, and then it's the Nationals, and then hosts Tampa Bay, and then goes into PNC Park. Honestly, I'm holding and starting throughout. I'm going to be holding for those last 3. So it's up to you if you really want to start him in Coors or not. I'm going to do it. It's just up to you. Luis Castillo against the Padres, but it in the T, right? At home in Seattle, still didn't have it. 5 innings, 5 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. The slider came alive a little bit, 6 over 22 whiffs, but yeah, you just can't do it. I think Castillo really should be off your teams. Charlie Morton at the Athletics, so Sacre Verde, 5 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks, 18 whiffs, 34% CSW. And here's the thing, you weren't going to start him here against the Athletics in Sacramento, and you aren't going to start him next time against the Mets. But what we've been wanting to see is the curveball still getting whiffs, and 12 whiffs on that curve with just 3 strikeouts on it is a little weird. Like, you would think you'd get more on it, but fine. 12 whiffs is great. So yeah, we're good right now. As long as he's fine against the Mets, Charlie Morton will be picked up by me against the Sly Sox and the Marlins after that, especially the Marlins. Yusei Kikuchi is a hipster, and guess what? It wasn't good against the Rangers because he's Yusei Kikuchi and does whatever he wants. He actually had his curveballs his most thrown pitch last time, and then this one was his 4th most thrown pitch. Everything was chaotic. 4 innings, 6 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. You don't want that. Andre Belante was terrible against the Pirates. You know, more at 11, 5 innings of 7 runs. You can't start him. And Brandon Pfaadt, I know some people were hoping he was coming back. He had some good starts for a moment. Oh, yeah, the cutter, the changeup, maybe. Yeah, no. It was against the Brewers, 2.2 innings of 6 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And you just can't do it, okay? Just don't do it. But what you can do is subscribe to PL Plus. You get it for $5 a month for ad-free pitcher list, the greatest baseball community on the internet. So go sign up today at pitcherlist.com/premium. It's just $5 a month. You get to support what we do here. It's the best way to say thank you for the all these podcasts and everything that we do this year. And we get to hang out. It's amazing. But that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.